This interview of YC Sam is a continuation of Site 1. Mr. Sam, how did your father choose to go into farming when he first came to America?
He doesn't know anything else what to do. He's a farmer all his life.
He was a farmer in China, right?
That's right.
So he didn't know what else to do except farming when he first came.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall the size of the farm?
Yes. Well, he has farm in small acres, like 30 or 50 acres. And then when I came over, my father's brothers got together and leased over 400 acres in Pomona. So that's a big one.
How many brothers did he go into farming with?
Two other brothers.
So altogether the three brothers went into this big farm.
That's right.
What did they plan to do with the big farm? To farm all their lives, or was there any plan at all?
No, they, I think their plan is to have a successful year, make some money, and then go back to China to their family.
How many years did they farm on that big farm?
About 3 years.
Did they make any money every year?
No, they lost money the first year, and they broke even the second year, and the third year they make quite a bit of money.
When you said quite a bit of money, do you recall approximately how much each share in the thousands or ten thousands or?
I think each one of them made about $10,000.
So $10,000.
That's a lot of money in those days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now that was way back in 19 when?
Between 1920 and 1923.
I see. Now since it was such a big farm, were there lots of workers helping in the farm?
Yes, we hire about 15 to 20 Mexican helpers and also some Filipino helpers.
Was there someone who could speak Mexican to make those people work?
No, these Mexicans can speak a few English, so they get along fine.
Do you recall how much money were they paid, the farm hands?
Let me see. In those days, the regular monthly wages is about $90 to $100 a month. And I think they pay the workers about $15 a week, something like that.
Did you furnish a place for them to live too on the farm?
Yes.
But they have to furnish their own food.
Yes.
How long did the workers stay with you for those 3 years? Most of them?
Well, they come and go during harvesting time. We need about 20 or 30 workers, but in between time, between planting and harvesting time, there's not much to do.
Now, did the farmers have their families with them, or were they all single men?
Some of them have their families. Some are single.
Were they professional farmers, like doing nothing but farming all their lives?
Yes, they are regular farmers. At least do the farm labor.
Now, in the farm, after dark, what were some of the things that people did for recreation?
Well, you know, in those days, they worked very hard. They got out in the field before daylight or at daylight, and then they never come back. Well, they come back for lunch, and then took about 1 or 1.5 hours rest, then an hour again, and never come back until late in the evening, before dark. So after that, they clean up, had dinner, and just hit the bed. They were so tired.
So there were hardly anything in the way of recreation?
No recreation whatsoever.
Oh, by the way, were there Chinese farmhands on the farm?
Yes, there's two or three of them who knows how to use the plow with a horse.
They too came from China, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Did they have their families with them?
No.
Now, when you were staying in Pomona with your father, Mr. Sam, did you come to Chinatown every now and then?
Almost once every Sunday, Sunday afternoon. Pomona is only 30 miles away from Los Angeles. So the men usually take afternoon off and spend in Chinatown in Los Angeles.
Did you buy anything to bring back to the farm, or what did you do in Los Angeles?
Well, I never bought anything, but my father bought some foods and other things back to the farm. Chinese groceries.
And at the farm, who did the cooking for the few of you?
One of the hired Chinese men.
Then the workers will cook for themselves, right?
Oh, yes.
In other words, you people don't eat together.
Oh, yeah. The Chinese workers eat together with us, mm-hmm. but not the Mexican and Filipino helpers.
Now, around your farm, were there other farmers too that are Chinese, that were Chinese?
Yes, there's another one near Chino. The farm is not as big, but also farmed by Chinese.
What did they grow, do you remember?
Well, they grow cauliflowers.
Just like you?
Just like our farm. Mm-hmm. We grow the cabbage, potatoes, watermelon, sugar beets, and tomatoes.
Now then, after that, you said that your father went back to China and you stay on to go to school here. Then you also mentioned the fact that you work in the produce market during the summer. Which market did you work in, do you remember, Mr. Sam?
I worked in both of the markets, both the city market and the central wholesale market.
The city market is what you call the one on 9th Street, right?
9th and San Pedro.
9th and San Pedro. And the other one, the central one, is on Central Avenue and...
Between 7 and 8.
About what time was this period? In the 30s?
No, before the 30s. Before the 30s. Between 20, 1925 and 1930.
You don't happen to remember the produce market that you work in? Wong Kim, was Wong Kim one of them?
Yeah, that one is still, they're still going. Some of those others already, their business already sold or closed down.
Mm-hmm. When you were working at the produce market, what particular kind of work do you do? Now, Mr. Sam, at the market, what particular type of work do you do?
Just an all-around helper, help selling the stuff and help deliver the merchandise to their trucks.
Did you not at one time took care of the books too for a produce market?
Yes, that was after I returned from China, and I couldn't get back to my own field of work, so I picked up some bookkeeping job to do, and one job doesn't pay enough, so I worked for 2-3 other companies.
Mm-hmm. Now, then, back to the 30s, do you remember how much money you were making by the week?
At that time, we were being paid about $25 a week.
At that time, were there many produce markets owned by Chinese?
Yes, most of the business are owned by Japanese and Chinese.
At both places?
At both places.
Mm-hmm. Were these owners fairly well-to-do?
Yes, I would say that they are above middle-class people.
Did your father ever thought of going into the produce business after farming?
No, he doesn't know enough English to go into business like that.
And of course, after you graduate from college, what made you decide to go back to China?
Well, at that time, I didn't see any future in my work with the work I'm doing in Arizona. And just a small mining company. And in my heart, I always wanted to go back to China to work. And it just happened that when I wrote to one of the mining engineers working in the Kuangtung Reconstruction Department, and I read about his name from a mining magazine. He was a graduate of Tri-State University in the United States. After I wrote to him, he wrote back to me and said that they needed me back there. So that's why I quit the job and went back there.
Were you if you were staying in America, do you suppose you have equal chance to work on your profession?
No.
Why was that?
In the first place, it's very hard to get get into the managing part of the business, because they were afraid they would create too much labor trouble, and the workers never respect any other people except the white people to be above them.
So then you went back to China, and just because you had received your education in America, were you treated much better than if you had never been to the States?
Oh, absolutely. all the return students working in the top jobs of all industry at that time. And we were well paid, and we were considered cream of the crop in China. But in America, it's just one of the lowly workers, even though you're a mining engineer or any kind of engineer.
Now, when you went back, did you work in Canton, or did you work in other places other than Canton?
At first, I was given a job to manage a pyrite mine in North River in Guangdong Province. And that was, this mine was under the control of the Reconstruction Department of the Guangdong Provincial Government. And after a few months, I met the director of the National Resources Commission Tungsten Division in Guangdong. And we had breakfast together in a hotel, and we met. And I believe he said that he's a return student from Germany. And then he asked me what I was doing back there. And I told him I just returned from United States, mining engineering, a few months ago. And I told him what I was doing at that time. And then he sort of asked me if I wanted to work in his organization. And he told me that he needed a mining engineer. And although he already employed a mining engineer, graduate from North China, who is also Chinese, and he claimed that he was hired 6 months ago, and he hadn't done anything. So he wanted me to take over. And I asked him what kind of work he wanted me to do. And he said that there are many mines, tungsten mines, located in the province of Guangdong. And he wanted me to form a surveying party to make a report on every known tungsten mines in the province of Guangdong. And after looking over what he wanted and what he expected of me, and I told him that I could get the job done in 6 months' time. And we started out with, I formed a surveying party.
How many people did you have in a surveying party?
No, we don't have a cook, but we have another mining engineer under me. I was given the chief engineer's job. And we also have two or three other instrument men who handles the surveying machines. And then we also have two, three other helpers. So altogether, we have about 10 people in our surveying party. Mm-hmm.
Then with that group, that party, you went to different parts in Canton?
Yes, we started out doing the nearest one to Canton first, and then gradually work toward other areas in the province of Guangdong.
Did you go to another province other than Guangdong?
No. No, this this branch of the Thompson administration, whose work is in Kwantung province only, it doesn't include the Guangxi or other province.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were back in China at that time, did you stay in the village with your mother?
No.
Did you see her very often?
Yes, whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said your mother never came to the United States, but who stayed with her in the village?
She was staying alone.
Did you not have some brothers at that time, or relatives?
Yes, a younger brothers, yes.
Then who supported her?
Well, my father sent money back to her. Mm-hmm.
Now, during your the time your father was in America, did he make a regular visit back there to see your mother?
No, if I remember right, he made a trip back there just about every 7 or 10 years. I guess it takes them about that much time to accumulate a little money to go back there.
Then the last time he returned to China was to retire, right?
That's right.
Did he ever invest any money, his hard-earned money, in China?
Oh yes, he invested in farmlands.
Farmlands and what else?
That's all.
Did he have his own home?
Yes.
So he invested in his own home.
Mm-hmm.
Any other real estate?
No.
Now, I'm just wondering, why did you choose mining engineering, Mr. Sam?
Well,
who influenced you in your decision?
Well, there are a number of things. When I was in junior high school, I already made up my mind that I wanted to be some kind of engineer. So I just majored in English and lots of math. And I wanted to go to UCLA at that time, but they require 12 recommended units. That means A and B units. But I had only 10 or 11, so I was short. And I was thinking about USC, but then the tuition was too high and I couldn't afford it. So I happened to know that the minister of a Presbyterian church, who was a Chinese, he wanted more money to support his family, so he quit the ministry. And then he studied herbs to be an herbalist. So I found out that he had an office in Reno at that time, and I wrote to him, told him that I wanted to go to University of Nevada in Reno, and I asked him if I could help him in his herb store and earn my board and room. And he wrote back right away and told me to go up at once because he needed one badly. So I went up there and established my residence in 6 months, and I entered the University of Nevada tuition free. And why did I take mining engineering instead of some other engineering? Well, it just happened that I learned that University of Nevada, the Mackey School of Mine, is one of the two best mining schools in the country. And that's why I took up mining engineering.
Very well. Now, mm-hmm. then, because of the trouble with Japan in China, you couldn't continue on with your mining. So in about 1940, you said, you decided to come back to America at that time.
1939.
Mm-hmm. At that time, you already had a wife and one baby. Okay. Yeah. And what kind of work did you do when you first returned to America in 1940?
After I returned, I couldn't make any contacts, get back to mining engineering work. Although I saw ads in the paper that certain mines are looking for an assayer. And I answered the ad, and I got a reply that they were looking for a Caucasian man to work there, not a Chinese. And so I couldn't get anywhere near them. And then in order to support my wife and a young infant, I had to go back to the produce market to work. And at that time, they were paying only about $18 a week. Wages were very low and long hours because the market is not unionized. And the people actually work about 10 to 16 hours a day to prepare the fruit and vegetable for the early market next morning.
So so you did that for about 1 year until the Second World War started. Then what did you do during those few years, war years? Did you have to go to war?
No, I was exempt from going to war because of a family and children. And but we were required to do defense work. So I applied for a job in the shipyard, which is near here at Wilmington. And at first they trained me to use the burning machine. That's the machine that uses oxygen and to cut the steels. And then I did that for a few months. And then I told the foreman that I have a degree in mining engineering and I can read blueprints and I could handle a better job in some other area. So he gave me a job in outlaying. In other words, using the blueprints to lay out the steels so other workers will come around and cut up the steels to its shapes and size to fit in the boats.
What were you making then, Mr. Sam? What kind of boat were you making?
Well, the Liberty boats, the freighters, and we had over 40,000 people in the shipyard, and I think we were able to produce one boat a month. And we were being paid very good. I think we were being paid about $60 a week instead of getting about $18 or $20 a week at the produce market.
So after the Second War ended, what else did you do? Were you still at the shipyard?
No, when the war ended, I stayed until the war ended. And then I was looking for something else to do. But then during the war, all industries converted to war manufacturing. And after the war, all industries are standing still. And, you know, to support my family, I had to go back to the market and, say, pick up some bookkeeping work and help my friend down the produce market.
But you didn't do that very long before you went into